I'm Gab, he's Jules, and this is the Gab and Jules FC 100 special. Jules, we've been given an important task here.
Very important.
As you know, every year at ESPN FC, we reach out into all our territories around the world. Deportes, South America, Pacific Rim, Australia, Africa.
Everywhere.
Sorry if I'm forgetting some parts of the world which might not have contributed. And we poll all our football folk,
yep.
Everybody. And we come up with this list where it's the FC 100. We split them up by positions,
yeah,
and people vote for the best performing player in the previous season.
Top 10 per position.
Top 10 per position,
yeah.
Essentially. And then we comment on it. You and I have the luxury. Now, guys, first of all, if you don't like what we're saying, shoot the message. Don't shoot the – sorry. Do not shoot the messenger. We are the mere messengers here, right?
Yeah.
I'm Hermes and you're Hermes.
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Hermes, of course, the German delivery firm. Hermes, rather classier French luxury brand. Goalkeepers. The top 10, number one, Jan Oblak. He was my vote. Gigi Donnarumma, second, because, again, we give more weight to the Euros. He did have a good season, I thought, with Milan.
Yeah.
I don't know how things are working for him now. Got no real problem with this. You see any issues going further down the list? We've got Neuer at 3, Courtois at 4. The Brazilians seem to come in pairs. Alisson and Ederson at 5 and 6. Got no issues so far. Edouard Mendy at 7.
Yeah,
you're going to complain about this,
I had Edouard Mendy higher on my list.
Why? Is he from Paris?
He's not from Paris.
Okay. Ooh, but really? But you're still sticking up for him.
Very objectively, I think people underestimate the impact that he had on Chelsea, the incredible season that he had, the amount of games without conceded goals, the amount of key saves that he made for the team that is the champions of Europe as well. I think that Mendy, I would have had him higher than Alisson, higher than Ederson without problem, even maybe in that top four.
Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, I'm kind of with you on that. I would have had him a little bit higher too, just because he was so decisive for Chelsea, a team that was so big about not conceding goals. Marc-Andre Ter Stegen is eighth. Maybe a little high considering the season he had. You could make a strong case for Emi Martinez,
who won
the Copa America, did well for Aston Villa. Keylor Navas at 10. I really like Keylor Navas as a person. You're going to tell me he's a phenomenal goalkeeper as well.
Yeah, and he was incredible in the two games against Bayern Munich, even in the two games against City, despite PSG being knocked out, and against Barcelona in the last 16. That second leg in Paris, he was incredible. So completely deserved to be in the top 10 best goalkeepers of the year.
He did get a new contract, of course, out of all this as well. So well done, Keylor Navas. Yeah,
Two PSG goalkeepers in there. Here you go. Put one striker and one in goal.
There you go. And moving on to right backs now. I suspect you may have a bit of an issue with this. I want to clarify something as well.
Yeah, explain.
Okay. So with our right backs, we took the view, where did this player play the most during the season, right?
Yeah.
So you will note, and give spoiler alert, João Cancelo is number 3 on the list. Obviously, he plays a lot of left back. Well, he played a lot of right back. He actually played more right back for City in last season than he did left back. Mm. And this is why he comes in. I mean, it was 50-50. We could have put him with the left backs, but he ended up among the right backs. Again, do not shoot the messenger, which is why City have 2 right backs in this list. Equally, Cesar Azpilicueta makes the list because he played a lot of right back for Spain and played right center back again.
Or right wing back. You know, we've counted right wing backs and left wing backs
of course
in this.
It's
as
an
right
imperfect
backs,
science,
yeah,
right?
Completely.
In a perfect world, everybody would play 4-4-2 or 4-2-3-1.
As God intended.
As God intended, exactly. But that's not the case.
Of course.
Anyway, our number one is Ashraf Hakimi. You made a face before. Off camera.
Yeah.
I don't understand why, because he was absolutely devastating.
But people have to realize that this is not now. This is not what we think is the top 10 currently.
Yes.
Right. People have to understand that.
It's a 2020-21 season.
Yeah.
And he was devastating.
He was devastating.
And he was one of Inter's best 3 players.
Completely.
And they won their first title in a million years.
Exactly.
So I got no issue with him being a number 1.
But we're not saying that he's better than Trent Alexander-Arnold or Reece James or Cancelo or all of that.
I think we would both agree he was better than Trent Alexander-Arnold last season.
And Reece James.
Trent is second.
Yeah.
Third is João Cancelo.
Yeah.
Reece James is 4th. Again, based on last season, I'm comfortable with this.
Me too.
In fact, maybe you could put Alexander-Arnold a little bit lower because he really struggled at times last season. 5 is Kyle Walker, who actually is a right back. And Six Jesus Navas. I thought he had a big season last year.
He had a big season, and what he brings forward for Sevilla is fantastic. And also, everybody likes Jesus Navas. He's such a likable guy.
Number seven, Kieran Trippier. I think he's there because England and whatever. I'm like, okay, dude, but...
It's just the top five are so good.
And there is a big drop-off. There is a massive drop-off. Number eight, Denzel Dumfries. Another one.
Yeah, just for these Euros. Let's be honest.
I need some special Euros. He got himself a big move to Inter. Number nine, Cesar Azpilicueta. Again, for me, he's a center back.
Yeah.
He's a right-sided center back.
I agree.
I know he played, but I think he played that role for Spain. And Spain did really well at the Euros. So he sneaks in.
He sneaks in just about.
And his team did rather well last season as well. And he played a big part.
And his country too.
Number 10, I'm not having. Number 10 is Benjamin Pavard.
I mean, come on. He's French, of course, fellow Frenchman. But even me, I mean, how somehow Pavard made it to this top 10 is beyond me.
Okay. Yeah, and again, he really does play right back, even though he's not a right back.
He's not a right back at all. Anything but almost.
But I guess a lot of Bayern fans out there, big name. Didier Deschamps, of course, had a vote in this, so that must be why. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't have a vote, but
maybe Pavard's family had a big vote in this or something. But hey, you know.
Moving on to something more interesting, central defenders.
That was tough. That was tough to do your top 10.
Yeah, this was tough for me. Number one, I got no problem with Ruben Dias.
Completely.
I thought
best
he was a monster.
In the world.
I have no issue with number two either. No. Marquinhos.
I agree.
Again, maybe a bit biased because I actually really, really like him. Number three is Giorgio Chiellini.
You're not happy with that.
Again, you put a lot of values on what he was. He missed a chunk of the season through injury. Not as much as he'd missed the season before.
No, but...
He did have, obviously, he was tremendous at the Euros, although he also did miss some key games at the Euros through injury, so it's not like he was there throughout.
Yeah.
For me, that means you're really putting a lot of weight on the Euros.
Yeah.
Number four, I have an issue with as well.
Well, hang on.
Rafael Varane.
Why?
Didn't have a great season at Real Madrid.
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure that. I thought he was good. They reached the semi-final of the Champions League, and he was key to that against Liverpool. He was outstanding against the Liverpool attack.
He also had some games earlier in the year. He shouldn't be there. Just
maybe a bit lower, but maybe not too lower than that.
Number five, Antonio Rudiger, who, again, you look at the season, there was this period early in the season when he wasn't playing, but then Uncle Thomas Tuchel came along and fixed everything. I thought he was really, really good.
He's such a leader for that team. Incredible.
Less so at the Euros, perhaps.
Yeah.
But
in a struggling Germany team with a manager who, was on his way out.
Yeah, these two next two guys I would have higher. At six is David Alaba, who, I think even with all the issues and the controversy, but with his contract at Bayern, I thought he was very solid last season. Even as the pieces around him got injured and changed.
Completely.
Lucas Hernandez always injured. Nicolas Soule too big.
Yeah.
Pavard too bad.
Yeah.
The Davies, whatever. Number seven, Kalidou Koulibaly. Now, he had a really strong season, I thought, last year. 2 years ago, it was a bit weird, a dip, but he finished strong.
I think all the rumors about leaving, will he leave, will he not leave, for how much money, and maybe played a little bit on his level. But it's, in a way, simple. If Napoli wins something, he's much higher, in the list. If he ends up winning the African Cup of Nations, for example, with Senegal, so for next year ranking, he will be much higher as well. But he's been outstanding in 2021.
Number eight, Thiago Silva.
I put him way higher than eight. Because what he's doing at 36 going 37 is just remarkable. Incredible. I don't know how many, and don't give me the Chiellini age, or I don't know how many of these top 10 at Thiago's current age would be that good, would win the Champions League, would be so influential in a new team, in a new country, not speaking the language. I just think the guy is phenomenal.
But he speaks the language of football.
Of course.
I think Thiago Silva with hindsight could be higher.
Yeah.
Number nine, Leo Bonucci, similar season. I don't think he had a good season for Juventus. Obviously did well. Big games at the Euros. Scored the goal in the final. That gets you there. It's playing much better now, incidentally. But again, people put value on this. Number 10 is Virgil van Dijk, who for me should not be on the list because he's not eligible, because he hasn't played enough games. Not that you're not great, Virgil. We love you.
Yeah. I agree.
He's injured. Not your fault. Shouldn't be there. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right, Gab, let's look at the left backs now and the top 10 that we came up with. And maybe what we said about right back, the top five really good and then the bottom five maybe not so good. Maybe this is more of the kind of...
More depth.
Yeah,
more depth. Definitely more depth.
Exactly. We went for Andy Robertson as the number one. Not that he had a stellar season, but you look at Alphonso Davies then... Teo Hernandez in the top three, Spinazzola, all had sort of pros and cons. Would you have had Teo Hernandez maybe a bit higher up?
I would have had Teo Hernandez higher just simply because he was there all season and because he was really good.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if I would have had him at one. That's also what hurts Davies too, right? Obviously, he missed a chunk of the season through injury. He did come back, but that's why you marked down a little bit. I wouldn't have had a problem with Davies at number one necessarily.
No, I agree.
But, you know, the best... ability is availability.
Yeah, we're cool, right. Jordi Alba in fifth, Rafael Guerrero in sixth as well. Marcus Alonso at seven. We know his biggest fan.
You speak for yourself.
Well, I didn't think you thought he was as up as seven.
I think
considering
seven,
Ben Chilwell played a lot of the season last year as well.
I know, but it's Marcos Alonso running down the wing for me. Come on,
okay.
Man. It's,
no, you love the whole family history and that.
Yeah, you know. Looking at this, there's a couple of guys after him I might have had before him, to be honest. I just think Marcos Alonso is a really important player for Chelsea.
Is.
Chilwell was never going to get on the list after he was effectively dumped at the Euros when, you know, St. Gareth decided he didn't like him. So... yeah, I would have the guy at number eight higher.
Yeah,
because I think Robin Gosens had a monster year. Now, you want to say he's not a left back. Okay, fine. But again, this includes wing backs.
Exactly.
They play 3-4-3 or whatever. Ferland Mendy, I think he's a really, really good player.
He is.
If I was to rank these players defensively, I might actually consider... I'm sure, in fact, let's do this. Right, because people say about fullbacks when I criticize them, like, he can't defend.
Yep.
I'm like, well, it doesn't really matter because fullback is an attacking position, attacking game. But Ferland Mendy is the best defender out of these 10, right?
I think so.
Like, easily.
He's probably, yeah.
Like, Ferland Mendy could play
easily,
center back.
But if you look at them, a lot of them were wingers before, left wingers.
Yeah.
A lot of them are clearly very good going forwards and not so much... defensively, I guess. So yes, it would be interesting. Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe Mendy, probably.
At number 10, it's Luke Shaw.
Luke Shaw. I mean, for the Euros more than anything else, although he had a really good season with United as well.
United finished second.
It's almost like if Alex Taylor is arriving, just gave him a boost, like a big kick on the backside that, you know, and that he found that form that he had all those years ago at Southampton.
Is 10 fair? You wouldn't have him any higher though, right?
I think 10 is fair.
All right.
10 is fair. Central midfielders, Gab, we're a bit like in centre-backs territory here again, where you have so many possibilities, so many options. I think we both agree on the number one. And N'Golo Kanté. N'Golo Kanté.
It's a toss-up between him and Joshua Kimmich. I thought Kimmich was phenomenal last season. Kanté had his injuries.
Yeah.
Obviously, we overrate what happens in the big... No, we overrate, but we give more value for what happens in the big competitions. And Kanté helped win the championship.
Man of the match in the two semi-final games.
Yeah.
Man of the match in the two quarter-finals games. Man of the match in the final.
He's always man of the match in Europe.
Because he's the best.
Okay.
And N'Golo Kanté.
All right. Okay, it's fine.
So Kimmich second, Jorginho third. winning the Euros and the Champions League.
And the Ballon d'Or.
And the Ballon of another color.
Again, as you know, I love the Jorginho story because he's a good guy, and he was received so much stick from so many stupid, and he's a term,
completely.
Really stupid people for the wrong reasons. Yeah. So he's a tremendous story. He deserves to be up there.
That's true. Four is Barella, fifth is Verratti. So somehow three Italians, 3, 4, and 5, you must have either tweaked the list or something happened, the whole of Italy voted or something.
Yeah, funny how this happens. No, look, I think Barella, for me, should be at 4. I wouldn't have more of an issue with maybe Verratti should be a little lower. But Barella was phenomenal in Serie A. I had some really good games at the Euros as well. Inter won the title for the first time after a long time, and he was a huge part of it. At number, if we were to make a point about this, who's missing from this list? And I'll get them later because I think he belongs on here. Number 5, Marco Verratti, a little high maybe.
No, I would have had first. Marco, je t'aime.
I'm not going to force you to choose between Verratti and Conte. Casemiro.
Yeah.
Again, rough start to this season, but this is last season.
This is last season.
He scored a ton of goals, too.
A ton of goals, I think 12 or 14, something in all competition. There was either him or Benzema scoring, and then that was pretty much it for Real Madrid. He deserves to be there. Luka Modric is also on the list at number 8. At 7, we've got the Golden Boy winner.
Yeah,
Pedri, who has been not even the revelation. We knew he was good at Las Palmas, but to adapt so young at Barcelona and impose himself in the team and being a key player already, same for Spain, they overplayed him. He's their loss because now he's injured, the poor kid. But he was incredible, right?
Again, Pedri is somebody I might have had a little bit higher.
Yeah, I agree.
These guys at the end, I'm not 100% sure of, in a sense. Luka Modric, phenomenal player. Was okay at the Euros.
That goal with the outside of his right foot.
I think that's what gets him in here. Gundogan, again, is it just me? Do I like Rodri better?
I know, but the Gundogan who scored all those goals between, around December for City
was... He did come up.
Was big. It was really big.
There's too many City players.
Frankie de Jong, then you can have a bit of reservation on Frankie de Jong being 10th because I don't think he had a very good season with a struggling Barcelona team with the Dutch guy.
Yeah, but I look at this as if Frankie de Jong hadn't been there.
Yeah, that would probably be worse.
But Barcelona would be struggled to qualify for the Europa Conference based on what we saw last season. Just about.
But for the guy that you're going to mention now who's not on this list, he could have maybe been in place of Frankie de Jong.
But Rodri, you mean?
Yeah.
I just wonder. I mean, would City have won the title if Rodri hadn't been there?
No, it's a good, it's a good call. I think, it is a good call.
You can give me the Fernandinho stuff. It's sweet and all, but come on.
And finally, Gab, the attacking midfielders. So again, the way we split the whole positions, you've got attacking midfielders and you've got your central midfielders, as we mentioned, then you'll have forwards, wingers and strikers. So, keep up with us.
It's a bit, in some cases, it's a bit counterintuitive. We did this, the categories were divided by where these people played most of the year at their clubs, okay?
Attacking midfielders, the number one is Kevin De Bruyne, KDB. Anything to say?
No, there was one point where I thought he was the best player. Or best midfielder in Europe, anyway.
Completely.
Yeah. So no argument there. Bruno Fernandes again. Last season, without Bruno.
Okay, but you know what I'm going to say, yeah. Last season, apart from the penalty away at City in the derby in the league,
he didn't score against the big teams.
Thank you. In all the big games, he not just his mistake or his fault. But he was not there. He didn't deliver. He didn't carry this team. He didn't lead the team. That's it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that this is his limit or this is why he's not one of the greatest or one of the best, etc., or the Brown level. But it's the reality.
It's interesting what comes after him because we have Thomas Muller, who I think had almost quietly a really solid season. I don't have an issue with Thomas Muller.
No.
At 3. But he's just saying there's a lot of competition here. At 4, Phil Foden as well, who I think back to the Euros and I think of the madness that we didn't see more of him.
I know.
I think he's just a phenomenal player. And then you get into Paul Pogba at 5.
I would have him first, as you know.
But This is the popular divides opinion.
Of course, it does. I think he's world class. A lot of people are saying that he's overrated. I can understand their argument. Mine is that I don't think there are many midfielders in the world right now who can do everything that he can do. He can attack, he can defend, he can tackle, he can score, he can assist. He sees the game so well. Long-range passes, short-range passes, everything you want.
And on the basis of the 2021 season, did Paul Pogba pull his weight for Manchester United? I would argue that he did.
He scored some really key goals against Burnley, against West Ham, games that United won 1-0 that helped them getting to the second place.
Against those Milan. The big teams that...
Against Milan in the Europa League, for example, when they needed him, he was there. Okay, the final was not what he wanted and they could not win it, but I still think I will always defend him, as you know.
Conte did so well for France too. All right, I knew that was coming. Mason Mount at 6, no argument there. Bernardo Silva's at 7.
It's a bit high considering the season that he did not have a good season. No,
and now it gets funky, and I think part of this is also because attacking midfielders, you're talking number 10 types generally, right? In the modern game, there really aren't that many.
That's true.
They're normally second strikers or they get turned into wingers. Yeah. So number 8, we get to Lucas Paqueta.
Reviving his career at Lyon, really. You in Milan were mean with him.
Number 9, Mikkel Damsgaard. It's a bit of a Euro Sampdoria effect, I think.
But even if you could say he played more as a winger in the Euros, which is true, but he has got his place there in attacking midfielder.
Number 10, Thomas Suchek.
I mean, this is your call. This is, you really put him in your list.
I had Suchek higher. Why not?
Why? How? Tell
me how. West Ham had a tremendous season. They were in contention for the Champions League until the last
Rice
day of the
season.
Declan
Rice is not in central midfielders.
There's Declan more competition Rice in central midfield.
Come on.
Thomas Suchek scored many more goals than Declan Rice.
You just love dude and like a bit lanky and all of that. That's why he's there.
He did well. He did well for his country as well. I know you got to think for
I
the
just
Rice,
would
Rice
like
baby,
to say to
on,
the
man.
Whole world, I'm distancing myself from, nothing against you, Thomas, distancing myself from the Suchek wagon or whatever.
We're Suchekaholics.
Yeah, that guy is. So I'm just saying.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, Jules, here come the forwards.
Oh, yes.
You'll be pleased to know it's the age-old Messi versus Cristiano debate.
Messi. I'm just giving away the number one.
He is number one. And of course, as we know, hang on, I'm just checking my agenda, my anti-Cristiano agenda. No, I'll say this about Cristiano, right? Are you number two because Juventus did little in Europe last season?
Yeah.
I thought he had his best season ever with Juve.
Was it 29 goals in the league or 30 goals, something like that?
I think he scored more. He might have scored more the year before, but I think he actually played really well for Juve last year. He always gets you goals, and then you take the good with the bad. But I thought he had a good campaign. Obviously, Juventus humiliated in Europe, so you know people are like, oh look, let's put Messi above him.
Although they were both out in the last 16, though. One against PSG, one against Porto, not the same. And Messi won the Copa America.
And Cristiano Ronaldo won the Golden Boot at the Euros.
Yeah, but it's not winning the Euros. It's not winning the Copa America.
These are individual awards. Whatever. It's the age-old Messi-Ronaldo yin and yang.
Yes.
I know just by saying these, we're going to get abuse from both sides.
Exactly. Where's Kylian?
Kylian is number 3.
Oh, he would be happy for that. With that for now. I think soon he's got biggest prize in his high sight, like the Ballon d'Or and the number one on the ESPN FC list.
All right. Number 4 is Mo Salah. I got no argument with that one.
No, either.
Where things maybe get a little bit hairy is Neymar is at 5. And Neymar is ahead of people like Memphis Depay, and Hongmin Son, who's at 6. Hongmin Son is at 6. Memphis Depay is at 7. Could you make a case?
I mean, I will, because I'll defend him because he's a PSG player, of course.
Ahead
I think
Depay.
The talent The talent is incredible. He's had some amazing moments last season. He had some terrible ones as well, where he didn't seem bothered. I think this is the Neymar that you have now, so mercurial in the sense that it could be fantastic, even in big games. And we saw that against Bayern, and then just not interested in others.
Sané headed to Depay, makes sense to you?
I guess Ligue 1, the Premier League, that's where most, you know, that's where the season was last year, more than with the national team, for example.
And he reached the League Cup final. And again, number eight.
Kai Havertz for the goal in the Champions League final. He won the Champions
again,
League.
Again, there are certain people who believe that it's a rule that if it's a big game and it's on television, you need to play well in that one, then that's more important than the rest of the year.
You know, the whole big players, big games belong to big players, blah, blah, blah.
Number nine, Dusan Tadic.
Oh, we love him.
Yeah, that's the Ajax effect.
Of course.
And number 10, Gerard Moreno. I really like Gerard Moreno.
You do?
I think he's super smart, and he scores goals, and he makes goals.
And he won Villarreal the Europa League. He scored in the final, scored his penalty.
I would have had Gerard Moreno higher. I'll tell you this.
Well, it's okay. Let's not get carried away here with Gerard Moreno, okay? 10 is good. He's happy to be on the list. He told me he's very happy to be on the list.
If you're wondering where Sadio Mane was and why he wasn't there, it's because he's in the winger category.
Yes.
And he's number one in the winger category. So there. Okay. This is an interesting one, I think, because much as I love Federico Chiesa and what he did at the Euros and everything, this is another one where I think there's a bit of a gap here. Because Sadio Mane is number one, who was outstanding for Liverpool, I thought, last season, in difficult circumstances where everybody gets getting injured. Two and three, Chiesa and Sterling are super high up because of the Euros, yeah?
Chiesa didn't have that bad of a season with Juve. Come on, were quite negative when he arrived, and you said you were not sure. And then I think I agreed with you, and we both recognized how better he was than what we thought he would be.
Well, I don't know. I always thought he was super talented, but I just didn't know how well he would adapt.
Yeah.
Because of the people around him.
But the Euros was his best moment of the season.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
So he's at two. Raheem Sterling's at three because he scored a ton of goals at the Euros.
Yeah.
Again, for me, I'd have him lower because I don't think at Manchester City he was necessarily...
much lower on my list.
Number four, Serge Gnabry.
Yeah.
Big season for Bayern. Score goals. Number five, Vinicius.
Yeah.
Now remember, again, everybody, this is the 2020-21 season that we're doing.
Now, yeah.
I'm sure he'll be higher on the list.
Of course, if he continues like this, yeah.
Number six, my man, Tiragiro, Lorenzo Insigne. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. Big, big, big fan. Loads of love for Lorenzo at the Euros, but even with Napoli as a captain on the left wing. I'm not sure after he goes to MLS, how it would be. I'm only kidding.
Hey, it worked for Sebastian
Jovinko.
There you go. Number seven, Jack Grealish. This is, again, to me, this is a bit of an interesting one because... you could argue that last season, without him, Villa get relegated.
Yeah.
And still, he does it at Villa. Goes to England, has his moments, obviously doesn't have the
key moments coming off the bench.
Can't get onto the pitch because you've got people like Trippier and Shaw and clogging up the midfield.
Rice,
and Phillips and 20, Rice.
20 holding midfielders.
I guess seven is about right.
Yeah.
Although, Oyarzabal maybe should be higher then.
Then maybe. Incredible season with Real Sociedad and then with Spain as well. Such an elegant, talented player.
Where they lose me, Jules, is with the next two.
Come
on. Riyad Mahrez and Angel Di Maria.
I've got no issues. One is Paris born and bred. I love him
too.
Surprising,
number one.
And the other one is a PSG player. I would have had them way higher.
Di Maria.
I'm kidding. No, I see your point. Mahrez, I think you'll be harsh because he was clutch in the quarterfinals with City. In the semi-final against PSG, he was outstanding for City. Yeah, okay, the final didn't go his way. And he won the league with City playing well the second half of the season.
It's the hard thing with City is because they have so many players who are so good, but it's still so much about the collective, that all these guys could just disappear from one day to the next.
That's true.
And feel like
that's true.
The team would be the same. Yeah, Di Maria, 10, I think we can do better.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
Right. Strikers... I will issue a quote from the legendary Billy Costacurta, who knows a thing or two about strikers.
Of course.
And he said, if you don't vote Robert Lewandowski for the Ballon d'Or,
leave me alone.
To have your head checked.
Leave me alone.
So, ergo, he should be number one, and he is number one, right?
In our list, he is. He might not win the Ballon d'Or. It's okay. I Don't know if okay, I would, if I would not have voted for him.
He needs to be number one on the striker list.
He doesn't need to. He is.
He is.
He was not my number one.
Ah!
He is number one. Right. He was not my number one. Kareem the Dream was my number one.
Kareem the Dream, you'll realize.
Some things that Karim Benzema does, Robert Lewandowski cannot do. Okay? Hence why Benzema has much higher assist, for example. Because he plays the game differently. This is not a criticism of Lewandowski, who is a better finisher than Karim.
And is technically better as well.
Not sure about that. I don't think Lewandowski can play number 10.
Lewandowski's technique is so pure.
Lewandowski cannot play number 10.
Lewandowski Karim Benzema tons of assists as well.
Yeah, but Karim Benzema can play as a number 10. Karim Benzema can be a playmaker.
I don't care what he can do. He can do backflips. This is football
I'm just
that
saying.
We're talking
about. Yeah. And it's okay. It's okay. I'm okay with Lewandowski number one. I'm just saying to you.
At number two is Erling Haaland. You would have had him behind Benzema as well, obviously.
Of course.
Sorry, Erling. Number four, Big Rom, Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah.
It's weird because for me, my first instinct is he deserves to be higher, but then I look at the three guys ahead of him and I say he probably doesn't deserve to be ahead of those guys. So I got to live with him. Well-deserved number four. Yeah. Number five, the Hurricane.
The Hurricane. Euros slow burner, let's put it that way.
I think it was funny. If he hadn't gone to the Euros, he probably would have been higher. Or he would have been higher.
Yeah, but I see what you mean.
You see what I mean? Euros didn't help him.
Yeah, that's true.
At number six, Luis Suarez.
Luisito for winning La Liga for Atletico.
And
pretty much
a ton of goals.
Yeah, on his own. Certainly the first half of the season. Lautaro Martinez for helping Inter to regain the title after so many years, and him and Lukaku up front were maybe the best partnership that we had last season, would you say, of a front two?
No question. Front twos, no question. No question. Jude Immobile scored a ton of goals again.
But
I know he also missed goals at the Euros, but whatever. He won the Euros and he scored a ton of goals for his club.
He deserves to be there, 100%.
And then we finish on a Swedish note. A bunch of tall Swedes.
Yeah, you know, IKEA, Volvo, all of that. And
Alexander Isak.
Of course. The heir to Zlatan Ibrahimovic, number 9 and number 10.
Zlatan, come on. Zlatan at 10.
At his age, he deserves to be there.
Absolutely. And no question.
Just for a second, look at the talent in the strikers list. I know there's always been great strikers, but I think we're pretty lucky to have this amount of striker on top of Messi, Mbappe, Salah, Ronaldo, all of that. This is pretty a good time that we're living at the moment.
Why did you only mention Ronaldo twice? You mentioned Messi, Mbappe, Salah, Ronaldo.
Did I?
This is the agenda, isn't it?
On top of Ronaldo, Messi, Mbappe, Salah. And finally, Gab, the coaches, because we also have a top 10 for the best coaches of the 2021 season. This was hard because Thomas Tuchel won the Champions League. Pep Guardiola won the Premier League. Roberto Mancini won the Euros. Jurgen Klopp didn't win anything, but it's Jurgen Klopp. Antonio Conte won Serie A. Simeone won La Liga. So you've got all those Scaloni, Villarreal, and Emery. So all those guys who won something, right? Which you have to take in consideration. Mm-hmm. Then there's also the kind of football that those managers implement to their team, whether you like it or you like it more. So it's a bit more difficult than for the players, I think.
I think so too, because ultimately, I mean, there was a great line from your pal Arsene Wenger, who, you know, once said that you can't really judge a manager's work directly. You judge a manager's work by what you see on the pitch, but it's a little bit like looking in a mirror, and sometimes the mirror is cracked or warped, so you don't really see what the manager is doing. I know it sounds better when Arsene says it. Thomas Tuchel is number one on the list. You could make a case that, you know, the same way that for the players, you have to have done it the whole season. Obviously, we talk about the season, did two different clubs.
Yeah.
For me, the fact that he walks into a club in midseason and gets them to play really well straight away, gets them into the Champions League, wins the Champions League, changes them. When so many people said, oh no, Chelsea are dead because Declan Rice isn't there and blah, blah, blah. He showed us all nonsense. He shows you can get down and you can have an immediate impact if you're a really, really good coach.
Incredible.
And
it was.
I have him at one also because of the raw material, the players, right? I know we love Thiago Silva. We put him on the list. Thiago Silva is old. Azpilicueta is old and not a center back. Yep. Christensen was too soft. And I pulled the spiel before. No,
Rudiger was in the
Rudiger
loft.
Was on the naughty step.
Yeah.
And he made it all work. And you know, and he did it with Timo Werner missing goals. He did it with Kai Havertz, where you're not quite sure what he is. He did it with Tammy Abraham struggling and tapping out eventually.
Yeah.
So,
remarkable work. Incredible. Pep Guardiola in second. I mean, we can always debate the decision that he made for the Champions League final, the no holding midfielder, no Fernandinho, no Rodri from the start. That will haunt him a bit.
That's why he's two and not one. If he wins it,
exactly,
he's one. But
exactly.
The football they serve up regularly,
exactly.
The way the collective comes before the individual.
Strength,
unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Moncho at number three for the Euros, for masterminding this incredible Euro win, because they were great. They had good momentum going into it. But even you thought that was a bit too early, that maybe the World Cup 2022, they'd be ready to do something.
Absolutely.
For them to win it that way, and him to implement all of that is incredible.
Phenomenal performance, and the undefeated streak as well.
Yeah.
Jurgen Klopp, when I looked at the injuries that they had last season.
I know,
right?
But
the Williams brothers, all this nonsense.
No, I know.
I mean, should he be a little lower? Could he be a little lower based
I
on the season?
Maybe.
Possibly.
I mean, they had the worst streak of result at home in the history of Liverpool Football Club.
Here's the flip side, though, right? If you move, you could make arguments against the guys who come up next. Antonio Conte won the league. Yeah, big thing. You could make a strong point that they should have won the league the year before.
Yeah.
And again, in the Europa and in Europe, you know,
yeah,
came up short again. Julian Nagelsmann, he'd had the time there. I think he could have done better with Leipzig.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Certainly in the league, they fell behind pretty quick.
So, for me, all these guys, Klopp, Conte, Nagelsmann, they're all in the similar thing. Simeone is the one who, obviously, you win a title with Atleti, it's a bigger deal. Equally, Real Madrid and Barcelona were car crashes.
And that back six against Chelsea in the first leg of the last 16. I still haven't recovered. I haven't recovered from seeing that from him with all the talent that he has at his disposal.
We put Unai Emery at eight He won the Europa League.
Good evening.
Exactly. There you go. You did it. Nine, Scaloni again. It is, I don't say I underrate the Copa America. In the end, it was a grinded out win, but it was a win.
It was a win.
It was huge for Argentina.
They had won it for, 19 years or something crazy like that. First one for Messi, too. He brought a bit of balance, a bit of solidity, stability to that team, and I think he deserves a lot of credit. Ninth is good. And 10th, Hansi Flick, Gab. Yeah, okay, it was disappointing the way they were knocked out by PSG in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, although they can play those games again and win them, and then maybe the thing is, the rest is different. They walked the league. And when we talked about the impact that Tuchel had on Chelsea when he arrived, Flick's impact when he had replacing Kovac is pretty incredible as well. So.
Yeah, the difficult thing with Flick, though, is that it's still Bayern.
Yeah,
right?
No,
so
I know.
The guy who comes after him wins the league, the guy who comes before him wins the league.
That's true.
And I think his real achievement was the year before, obviously, when they went and they won everything in sight.
Yeah.
All right, that covers the ESPN FC 100. We do this every year. Again, do not shoot the messenger. This is not our list.
No.
We merely had a vote in the list,
and
we're here to discuss it. If you're unhappy, comment, interact, but please do not take it out entirely on us.